Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I'm your host, Dustin Coffin. Please subscribe, like, share, follow with your friends. Just hit that subscribe button right there and follow us across the board at the Comedy Club KC. I am here with the wonderful, hilarious Francis Ellis. Francis, welcome back to the Comedy Club. Welcome back to Kansas City.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. It's been a number of years.
Last time you here was 2020.
Is that right? Was it exactly that year?
I think it was 2021. It was a COVID.
Right after.
Limited capacity.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was... I get to meet a lot of really, really funny and really good, cool people. I get to meet a lot of schmucks, mm-hmm. You know, not so necessarily the comedian, but just in this industry, you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
Meeting you for the first time, I was like, you're such a fun energy. I remember this is a good, fun person.
Oh,
and
thanks,
so I was excited
man.
To have you back. And as soon as I saw you in the green room, I was like, this is why I love this man.
I appreciate it. What kind words, dude. I mean, you know, not to return the glaze, but,
return it, please.
Yeah. There is something about a comedy club that is run by a comedian, right? So there are a couple examples of this, but I think that you have set this place up and built it as I would guess you would want it for yourself as a comedian, right?
Just understanding as a comedian what would be beneficial for comics.
Yeah, exactly.
The stage ready area. You have the green room, and the stage ready area separate. You got the door that goes right to the ramp for the stage. Just all the little things.
There's so many little things, and it's very noticeable. I think among them, you know, the fact that the house lighting, the stage is well illuminated, but everyone else is in darkness. That's so nice, right? Low ceilings. We all want low ceilings.
Sound is
sometimes you can't help that, but it is awesome when you have low ceilings. The stage is at the right height. It's not too high, not too low. That's nice. And the checks are dropped in a very kind of surreptitious way. You don't notice the staff moving around. They're like ninjas kind of flitting in and out.
You know, we switched, and actually what you would think would be more interruptive is way less. They're doing it on their tablets now.
Nice.
On silent, so there's not like a paper. There's
so
not,
big.
It's multiple trips. Yeah. It's just boom, quiet. And
famously, there's a restaurant in New York called Per Se, and I think it's the most expensive or one of the most expensive restaurants in New York City. It's the New York sister restaurant to French Laundry, Thomas Keller's restaurant out in Napa, and 3 Michelin stars. It's like, you know, $800 a head. It's crazy. And when they were training their staff,
that's an expensive dinner.
It's crazy. When they were training their staff, they brought the New York City, the ballet, the Metropolitan Ballet, the premier ballet troupe of New York, to come in and teach the waiters and waitresses how to navigate and move around the tables in as non-intrusive a way as possible.
Really?
So as like gracefully, as quietly, gliding through, not interrupting people, not being noticeable. And that's how I feel about your wait staff here.
And they're in black. So they brought the ballerinas.
Yes.
Is that how you in to teach them how to walk gingerly?
Correct.
That's not a slight on you.
No, I don't take that personally.
I said Lee around the tables and just, yeah. Wow, that's wonderful.
It feels like you did that with your people
we
here.
We do explain the importance of that.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. So appreciate that.
And what you've raved most about is just our little veggie tray and cheese.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
I've never seen anybody so happy about broccoli.
Well, I didn't expect to have it again tonight, and it was refilled. It's like, you know, Jack's Beanstalk.
Greg Warren also just raves about that.
Yeah.
Everybody appreciates it. Not everybody is like, dude, I need this all the time.
Oh my God. They have this amazing platter that is set over this ice and it's different quadrants. Imagine a large version of a young child's dinner plate. It's so great. It's the most perfect arrangement of like a broccoli and cheese cubes and freshly cut strawberries that are clearly washed and sliced into the right size, blackberries, dare I say, and some ranch dip in the middle. And, you know, I don't want to say that I have bad OCD, but my God, having all those things mixed together would be a nightmare for me. And they are so striated and so quarantined in their own little nooks.
It is like the perfect
platform. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. And I appreciate that too. Yeah.
Well, so you took some you took a couple months off from performing a little bit last year.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. From being on the road. Yeah. I decided to really kind of just taper back, cause I was dealing with, my divorce and sort of trying to just muscle my way through it all. And finally I realized that was only making things worse as far as like coping and,
not performing and not traveling.
Yeah. Well, no, like being on the road and traveling and doing just ignoring the sort of feelings I was having it was only making it worse. So finally I just took some time off and faced it.
So I know that there was a time, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years in and stuff like that, where I was like, if I wasn't performing, I just felt like such a piece of crap.
Yeah.
This void, there's emptiness, and so you just, you know, you're just performing and working as much as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. When was a time before this at all that you actually just said, I'm gonna take a break?
I don't know that I ever have, honestly. I mean, COVID, quarantine, stages shut down, and the stand-up world went dark for a number of months. I'm sure it reopened more quickly in the South and Florida and things like that. But I was up in Maine, and you know, I probably didn't touch a stage for, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months, which felt like an eternity.
Right.
And then when I came back to it, I was excited to try out some of these new thoughts that I'd had and new experiences. And there was an outdoor show that was set up in Maine by these two awesome guys at a brewery. And I would just go once a week, every Thursday. It was the only show in Maine. And I did it every Thursday, and it just kind of kept my hand in it. And then I was excited to come back to New York after about 6 months.
Yeah, so we had Rusty Thursdays every week for about a year and a half, where it was the comic. It's like, this is my first week ever, like in a year, this is my first time weekend, and just getting those cobwebs off Thursday. So did you have the same excitement or going back to it this time as you did kind of coming out of COVID, or was it
just— Yeah, I mean, I didn't really stop doing spots, you know, because I feel like in New York, keeping your face present at the clubs and showing up there is as vital as almost anything as far as writing jokes or improving. You just need to keep reminding people and stay in the system and the plug line, all that. So I didn't stop doing spots, but I did stop doing the road. And I think that when I finally did manage to sort through some of the feelings and sadness that I was struggling with, my writing just immediately improved.
Good for you for recognizing, sort of acknowledging and taking care of yourself. And thank you for taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I've talked about it openly. I mean, I finally went on medication. I went on, Wellbutrin. I had been afraid of antidepressants or psychoactive drugs or whatever they're fucking called, because I had tried about 10 years ago to go on one, and it like really had kind of adverse side effects. Just made me it heightened the symptoms that I was trying to fix. So, from that, I weaned off that and said, I was for 10 years, I was like, I don't think I can do this. And then I went on, and it really helped big time.
You know, it's interesting, like comics getting started, especially early, you get trained to like what they think, get on stage as much as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're just like always trying to get on stage, always going to another show, as many shows a night, as many shows a week. And then you get to work. You want to work as much as you possibly can. You just love being on it, where it's like, you don't— comics, if you ask them, they don't want to take that break. Where if you're at a normal job, a 9-to-5 with your PTO, you're like, I'm taking tomorrow. You're making up, you're calling in, you're using as much PTO as you possibly can, anything to get out of going to work. And you don't see that. I don't feel that with this industry.
Yeah, I think the only way to kind of convince comedians, a lot of comedians, that it's okay is to remind people that you have to live and experience life in order to write good new material. You know what I mean? That at least for me, I have to go out, I have to travel, I have to be on airplanes and in hotels and talking to random people and meeting people in order to come up with the and find the stories that I will chip away at. And if you're just on stage every night, I find that all I end up doing is refining
the same material.
And I get it tighter and tighter and tighter, and it gets better and better. But as far as like asking yourself, has anything happened to me in the last month that is some huge thing that I want to really talk about? If you're just at comedy clubs hanging out with comedians all the time,
you're missing all on the self-reflection.
And you're not putting yourself out in the wild.
Because we also constantly grow as people, at least hopefully we grow as people evolve. Some obviously we've all gone to school with the person who's still the same person 30 years later. Yeah. You're like, wow, you haven't grown up at all. Thank you. That's not a compliment.
Yeah,
like,
right. You know,
that kind of thing. But like,
you don't act a day older.
I mean, you look like shit.
Yeah, yeah. You haven't matured a day. Yeah.
So you are, when you are in that constant cycle, it is hard to see your growth or even feel that. So you're right. Taking a step back, having some life experiences and stuff like that, it not only helps you get the experience and life to talk about, but it also helps you see yourself in a different light and like hang out with yourself a little bit, which is also very important in making those connections with the audience.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, anytime I do end up taking a trip somewhere, that's always the place where I come back like, as if I have a suitcase full.
What are some fun trips you've taken lately? I just got a passport for my kids and I. I haven't used it yet, but I've been looking at options. Probably something easy at first, so I'm always open to hear.
Yeah, I went to the Dominican Republic with my buddies for my divorce chiller party.
Oh wow, it's like your very own The Hangover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we went down there for a buddy's golf trip to celebrate my divorce. And
so,
you know,
funny, people usually have like bachelor parties,
right?
And so
that's you're why we called it a divorce chiller.
So funny.
And I was like, don't you think we should call it a divorceler? And they were like, no, divorce chiller. It's stupider, but it's funnier.
Did it help you chill out?
Yeah, well, that trip, it wasn't like celebrating that I got divorced. It was celebrating that I had finally made my peace with it.
Okay.
And it was great. Yeah, we all had a great time and got to play. You know, it was only 3 days. We played a lot of golf and had a lot of drinks. And
you wasted, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, went swimming in the ocean, did fun stuff. So it was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Not much. I can't say that a whole lot happened there that would be ripe for the stage. For that, I would say I do think traveling alone is actually a really good thing to do. But
like vacationing alone?
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, you know.
You ever go to shows by yourself? I used to more.
Not really. I've hit my quota on stand up. I just watch so much from the wings as I wait to go on. And
concerts, anything, music concerts. So
you know, I have to admit, I have a little bit of I think it's agoraphobia, where I have a fear of being in large crowded spaces.
So that's why he only performs little clubs like this one.
Well, everyone's seated and I'm on a stage, you know, kind of separate in my own little island a little bit. But I see what you're saying. Yeah.
We're not the biggest club. We're not 100 seats, but we're not 300, 400.
Yeah, 250 is a good number, though. I like 250. There's a lot of the best clubs are right around that number. Philly Helium's that
That's
number.
That's kind of a magic number. We do 260 with, if we switch to two tops, we probably could push, but then 300, but then you have to staff 300, and I don't want to staff 300.
Yeah, 300 is a big number. I think the size of the room is perfect for the Kansas City as a market. I mean, you know, it's like not a super populated city. It's a medium sized city.
Pretty insane checks with 260 seats.
Oh, I bet
it's. Yeah. We get the job done.
Yeah,
we have a very supportive fan base and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, they're awesome. Everyone comes out. I love it. I love being here.
So you don't go to concerts?
I haven't been to a concert probably since I was in high school.
Wow. And that has nothing to do with comedy. That's just you don't like these big.
Yeah. I don't like going to weddings either. I don't like being on the dance floor at weddings. I like dancing, but I don't like being in crowded bars
you get
anymore.
Invited to weddings?
Constantly.
I never get invited to weddings.
I would trade with you in a fucking second.
And I'm not even like, I've heard wedding material. I'm not even wedding guest material.
I mean, you know, it's a huge commitment of time. It's your weekend gone. And hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
I did have a friend ask me to go with her to a mutual friend's wedding, which is, it's a queer wedding and it's on a Monday afternoon.
Wow.
So I'm going to do that. And
cool.
I'm excited just to be asked to go to a wedding.
That's fun.
We're going to do it on a Monday.
Wow. That's, I mean, that's, I've heard of saving money by having your wedding on a Friday.
Oh, is that what it is?
A Monday. I don't know how many venues.
How much for a Monday?
Yeah.
4:30.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just get claustrophobic and I need space.
Claustrophobic, I can relate to. What other fears do you?
But it's like,
I fear heights, man-made heights, especially.
Yeah, but it's not. It's strange to. I don't think claustrophobia is the right term because it is only in large spaces with lots of people, and it's not as though I am envisioning worst case scenarios like a fire or some sort of stampede.
So you wouldn't do well in an orgy.
I would be on the periphery. I would choose one person and say, let's go over there and just see each other for a minute. Let's service each other's needs. And then I'm going to go shower and I'll slip out the back door. Nobody will even notice.
I'm sure a lot of people will be slipping out the back door. Snakes. I've jumped in the closet. Like I was at somebody's house one time, teenager, but they pulled a snake out of there and I just went straight into the closet.
No way.
I'm not getting near this thing.
Everybody hates snakes. I don't mind them. I mean, but there's a big difference between seeing one in the wild and seeing one in a little case or, you know, fucking one of those glass terrariums. I don't know what they're fucking called.
And then heights.
Yeah, you have a problem with heights?
Yeah, like I don't like. I used to like, you know, like school building. Like I don't know if your school, you could like climb up. They have like indentions on the brick that you can climb up.
Like
a kind of a built-in ladder. I would be able to climb. I could always climb up, and then climbing down, I just fucking freeze.
Like, yeah, well, that's the issue, right?
I've gotten stuck on things where that's I'm like I can't get down.
Yeah, that's very bovine of you. Yeah. Do you know what that means?
No.
Bovine is having to do with cows, and cows can walk upstairs, but they can't walk down them, famously.
Oh, interesting.
Which is why it was that famous frat prank, I think in Animal House, where they brought a cow up, or was it a horse? I can't even remember. But in frats, sometimes school pranks, they'll bring a cow upstairs and then...
Because it can't go down.
Allegedly, you cannot get a cow downstairs.
Oh my God.
So...
That's so funny.
Bovine.
I've froze on Ferris wheels.
Oh, wow.
I just froze.
That's romantic, though. That's like where if you're up, I thought you meant stuck. You were stuck at the top.
No, I just froze. I'm like, and then that time where you're there with like your fucking asshole friend who knows you're a friend, and they're like,
yeah,
we're going to rock the like, I hate you so much right now.
I mean, you know, you put yourself on it with that person. Yes. Yeah. But I was thinking about you. I thought you meant you, the Ferris wheel freezes or like halts while you're at the top. And that's always where it's like in the fucking TV show or the rom-com. It's like
in Spider-Man. No, like I just freeze. I'm like, I can't fucking do this, man. What makes you? Do you have any weird,
you know,
normal?
I don't know. I definitely hear. I have a weird thing about language, where I hear people say things incorrectly, and it's as if I'm hearing like a screech or something like that.
Do you correct them?
No.
No.
I know not to do that. You know? I know you're not supposed to do that. And I what's the point? You know what I mean?
You do use the English language very well.
Well, that is my autistic savant thing.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Harvard.
Okay.
And I minored in English. But I don't know. I just was taught grammar well in high school. And then have always loved to read. And so I hear people misuse lie and lay, and I hear it immediately. And it's just, it's a pebble in my shoe.
You try to go on dates and it's just like I just want literacy. Yeah, that's all what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just want literacy.
Yeah.
Like, or like proper grammar. You don't have to use the $1 million word.
No.
You don't have to use fucking $100 word. Just use the words properly.
I agree, but
spell them.
But that's asking a lot, honestly, because people misuse words all the time.
Unless you are like from another country, maybe you you're learning the hey, I can accept that. I'll deal with that. We'll work with that.
Yeah,
you know,
right? There are, you know, obviously we know people overuse literally as a word of emphasis. And I was playing this fun game where, can you come up with a very good example of using literally properly? Could you do that on the spot? I'll give you one I can come up with.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's say that, let's say that I needed you to help me go get some milk from the store. And you were like, I can't do that. I don't have any shoes. And I was like, and you were like, and the milk store is a mile away. And I said, well, you know what? You can borrow mine. Why don't you literally walk a mile in my shoes? Right? Because walk a mile in my shoes is a saying. Literally, which means try to see things from my perspective.
Right.
And we know that as an idiom, as an aphorism, right? So we know it to mean, or maybe it's a metaphor, whatever. We know it to mean something that it doesn't literally mean.
Right.
Walk a mile in my shoes means try to feel how I feel.
See it from my eyes.
Yeah, see it from my eyes. But I'm saying, don't confuse what I'm saying now with the metaphor. Literally put my shoes on, walk a mile to the store, and get the milk.
I have heard things about this where I think it was people who use the word literally a lot have a low vocabulary and are lazy.
Yeah, there you go.
I've heard this before.
Absolutely. Gary Goleman had an unbelievable bit about it where he said this generation that has adopted.
I've literally heard that. So no.
Sorry, yeah. But that's fine. That is fine. I don't mind that. That works. Goleman had a great example where he said that this generation has the only time he's ever, it was in the Great Depression that especially did, about how this generation will use the word literally to mean both its meaning and simultaneously its antonym, like the opposite of what it's supposed to mean, because they will use it to mean figuratively. But I got one more example. I remember I was in Florida recently and there was a restaurant that was on a dock. Okay. And on the menu, they advertised it as, we are literally on the water. right? And the way that works is that when we say, oh yeah, that this place is on the water, well, usually we mean that it's abutting the water. It sits on the coast. It's adjacent to the water.
It's by the water. It's next to it.
Right.
It connects.
There's nothing between it and the water. But
we're not on the water.
That dock restaurant, you're seated over the water.
Okay.
So it was on the water.
Okay.
Anyway, this is just me being a fucking freak, but I like that stuff.
Well, I ask. This is what I'm at. You know,
yeah.
Like what are the ones that get you?
Yeah, definitely language, I would say.
Other ones, somebody said, I was talking to a friend and, just talking about how things were going well. And she's, and just mentioned a few things and she was just like, stop it. I'm like, what? And she's like, no, that means keep doing it.
Right.
I'm like, why would it mean that? I've been, my momentum is really positive.
Right, I know. I do like that. I like how, so I think that young women have sort of, instead of laughing now, they say things like, I'm dead. I'm ill.
Dead.
I'm physically sick. And you're like, oh my God, what's wrong? She's like, no, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And you're like, okay.
Well. I'm throwing up it right now in my shoes. Yeah. Could you take me home? I have to change my
Commit
shoes.
Commit me to a ward of the nearest hospital. That was a great joke.
I was doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself now.
I like that though.
I'm sorry, unalive. I'm gonna unalive. We don't want to get flagged here. So what do you have coming up that you're excited for?
I am in Tires season 2. That's coming out June 5th on Netflix.
What a fun show.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that'll be coming out
June 5th on Netflix.
Okay.
So reprising my character for season 2.
Are they releasing all the episodes?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, it should be all the episodes.
You're in the whole thing?
I'm only in one episode, okay. But I have a fun, meaty, chunky part.
I love seeing people I know and friends show up in these spots. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. It's the most fun thing ever to film with those guys, and I'm always incredibly honored and flattered that they would keep having me in their awesome work. So
like I got to work with Bill Burr in Kansas City as a very young comic hosting for him. You know, before he was big and famous, I think we got lunch on the plaza or something like that, right? And then so when he showed up on Chappelle's show, I was like, dude, it's Bill. It's awesome.
That's
and then
so just sick.
Explode. So, you're you know, right. congratulations to this.
Thanks, and, man. Thank you.
That's a great path. It's a great show.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by very funny people on that as well.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
Where can people find you online?
You can check me out on Instagram, all that. Francis C.C. Ellis, I think, is the handle. All over the country, touring, all that stuff. So
check out Francis on Tires on Netflix, season 2, June 5th. Please like, subscribe, share with your friends. We'll see you next week, Francis. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.